Well, our major concern is that it doesn't clearly define what support there will be for public educational and government access channel. The language is extremely ambiguous and vague, and we don't think provides adequate protection for the funding we now receive under the current local franchising scheme. And the language, the way it's currently written, does not ensure that that money that it will be sent to the cities will in fact go for public educational and government programming. Right now, the money that is collected from the cable operator comes directly to us, and under the proposed bill, the money would go from the state to the city and then to us, and we would just like to see more clear guarantees that that money would end up back in our pockets.
So you're ultimately worried that potentially the city of Charlotte could use that money that's being sent, you know, in hopes of going to public access, but actually be used for something else in the meantime?
That certainly is a concern. I think that we have a good enough relationship with the city of Charlotte that that money would probably end up at Access 21, but we would feel more comfortable if there was a requirement that money that had previously gone for public access would continue to go for public access.
Now, is it true that you exist today at the will of the city, that any time the city could nix public access, or is there something in place that guarantees that you will exist under the current arrangement with franchise fees from the local cable company?
No, the existence of all public educational and government access channels is at the will of the particular city in which they operate. And for the past several decades, it has been up to local government to decide if they want these kind of channels and how they will be used. And we think that the system that is currently in place is the best way to do that, for local government to decide how public educational and government access channels will be used, how they will be funded, and at what levels they will be funded. And the state legislation takes that ability out of the hands of local government and puts it at the state level. And quite frankly, I don't think anybody at the state level knows what's best for the citizens of Charlotte or what their needs are in terms of electronic communications.
Now, those who support this legislation would say that other regulated services, other services like telephone and energy, they are regulated by the state, not local government, and it's working in those situations. How do you respond to that?
Well, the problem is that the bill does not require cable operators to provide service to everyone. And unlike public utilities such as electric or natural gas or telephone, who are required to provide service to everyone, the bill will allow cable operators to pick and choose who they'll supply service to. We don't think that that's fair, and we don't think that that's healthy for our community.
Now, I understand at least 11 other states have passed similar legislation to this, and supporters who are fighting for it here in North Carolina say that, you know, any harm that could potentially be done to public access channels, which they say won't happen, would actually be outweighed by the benefit to consumers because of the increased competition. What does public access add to the Charlotte community as it exists today?
Well, what we add is a platform for everyone to participate in the community. We allow people who don't necessarily have access to electronic communication to come down and use the facility to share their talents and their thoughts with their neighbors, to get to learn about each other, and it makes the community a better place to live for everyone when we all have an ability to learn about each other and understand each other better.
Mr. Rocco, thanks for the time.
My pleasure.